Year after year, one of the most consistent items on my Do Something list is to have fun with fashion. Exploring my personal style has added more joy to my everyday life and helped me feel more like myself on the regular. However, I have found that there are some brands I would love to explore more, but they are out of my typical price range. Or there's the it item that I would love to try out, but without the commitment of keeping it. Enter Armoire. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I just did my quiz and have selected a few dresses for the summer from Boden, one of my favorite brands that I can't typically afford. And I also got a double-breasted black blazer from a new-to-me designer, a classic item that I have been on the hunt for but too scared to commit to until I know it's the one. For you expecting mamas, for those who are working, or those who are style-obsessed, who want to switch out your wardrobe with quality pieces without the designer prices, check out this woman-owned company that has your style and your sustainability in mind. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/progress. That's armoire.style. armoire.style/progress to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Kaylee, welcome to How Do You? I'm so glad you're here. Start with an introduction. Can you tell us a little about yourself?
Definitely. So my name is Kaylee. I live in a little tiny town in Wyoming, not Montana. And I've got 7 kids. Their ages are 12, 10, almost 9, 7, almost 6, and let's see, 4.5 and 3. So
amazing.
Yeah. And then I recently got admitted into medical school. So I'll be starting that this summer. And yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Okay, this is, I mean, I have so many questions, but the way we always like to start these How Do You episodes is with a little bit of a background. So can you tell us what the setting is? Like, why were you interested in medical school? How long had you been wanting to do medical school? What drew you to this pursuit?
Right. So I have always wanted to go into the medical field since I was little. But I went to college actually with the intention to become a nurse. And then I met my husband like my 3rd weekend in college. And so we started dating. And then I was like, oh, when are you done with school? And he's like, oh, in a year. I was like, well, I don't have time. So, you know, because I knew he wanted to go to PA school. And so then I decided to do something else. We ended up being there long enough for me to get my whole degree. And actually, a lot of my friends who were applying at the time I had planned on with nursing school ended up graduating the same time as my husband. So it was all just a big misunderstanding, but I think it's good. Sure. In the end. I finished my degree in like 2.5 years. Like, it was just kind of a rush. And a lot of it was online. I did marriage and family studies. And then we moved a lot. We've moved 9 times, but we ended up moving to Vegas eventually, where my husband went to PA school, and then we moved again, and then we moved to Texas for a while for him to start his career. And we were there for 1.5 years, and it was just a really hard year for me. Mm-hmm. We lived in a little tiny town, and which can be a little bit hard, and especially when it wasn't just like an adjustment of like town size, but it was also culture. And I grew up being in like the majority of where I grew up in my religion. And so then I moved to Texas and we were the only ones of our religion, and our congregation met 30 minutes away. So it was just very isolating and trying to get to know people still, but they were not open to us because of religion. And so it was just like this weird like moment in my life where I had just had my 4th child, and it was my whole identity kind of came into question for me, and just kind of having a different perspective on who I was. And so I kind of felt like it was this moment where my whole identity kind of crashed and burned, and sure. It was very painful. And then we ended up moving up here to Wyoming. So along the way, I guess I should say, I had always planned on going back to nursing school. So when he was in PA school, I still looked like, where's the nursing program? You know, I always planned on becoming a midwife because I always knew I wanted to deliver babies. And so I was like, I'll become a nurse and then I'll do nurse practitioner and become a midwife. So that was always the plan. And then while we were in Texas, I kind of started thinking about other ideas. I was like, well, maybe I'd want to go into education. Like, I don't know why I thought that. And then I started thinking all these different things. And then I was like, you know, I'm just going to take a break. I'm not even going to think about it. And then we moved here to Wyoming. And there was just this one day we had visited my parents in Utah where I grew up. And we were driving back home. And I'd been talking to my mom about a doctor I knew. And then we were driving home and I was reading my husband the intro to a book that I had borrowed from my mom. And all of a sudden, it was like this light bulb just went off in my brain. And I was like, I should be a doctor. And it was like the most random moment of my life, because up until that time, I had never said that out loud, that I even wanted to be a doctor. But I think, like, looking back, I knew I wanted to be a physician, but that's not what moms do, right? So I just did not believe it was possible. And I didn't believe that that was a good idea. Like, I had a lot of beliefs around that was like, not a good thing. You're right. So like for a mom to do something like that. And at that point I had had my fourth daughter right before we moved here, which definitely influenced this a little bit just because
I had one child. Was that two?
Number five. Yes. We had our fifth in Texas and we had our last two here in Wyoming, but my first is a boy. And then I had four girls in a row, which I never saw for myself ever. And I cover a big family, and like I have a lot of older sisters who, you know, had kind of shown me the way of feminism to some degree, you know, and I had started down that journey in a lot of ways, and I had already started changing a lot of my beliefs, but not necessarily about myself. And so, but having daughters is just different. I mean, I had taken this online class in Texas. I remember, like, my husband worked in the ER, and so he was gone a lot at night, and so I was doing this free online class, and it was like about the history of women or something. And I remember just sitting on my bed and thinking, I want my daughters to know they can do anything they want, including becoming a doctor. See, this is where it's like, okay, obviously Kaylee wanted to be a doctor, but
yeah,
it was just this, like, I just wanted them to know they could do both, you know, but I had not extended that to myself at all. So yeah, that was my moment of like, I should be a doctor. And so I started talking to my husband about it. And the first like 9 months of it before I gave up for a year, I took a break from the idea. For that first 9 months, I knew my husband had major reservations about it, but he was like very vocally supportive. So we had a lot of conversations and I started down the path. Like, I started taking prereqs. So this was in September. It was Labor Day weekend. And then I started taking classes in January online.
And what year was this?
Though you started taking 2018. Classes? So 2018 is when we moved here and I had the idea. And then January of 2019, I started classes. And I was pregnant with number six and he came in June. So I had given up the idea before he was born. So because my husband's a PA, that's always a question I get, is like, why not PA instead of medical school? Because it is a much shorter road. And it's a lot more flexible, because with medical school, you go for 4 years and then you have to do a residency. And in PA school, you just go to school for 2.5 years and then you can do anything. They kind of just train you specifically to the job they want you to do. So we had had a conversation, and like, I had been very defensive about this conversation for a long time. And then I had gone to San Diego with my husband on a medical conference in March, and on the plane home, I could tell he meant it so genuinely. He was like, you know, I was just with a bunch of physicians at this conference and they are all like so overworked and like burned out. He's like, are you really sure this is what you want to do? And I had already started thinking about other things outside of OBGYN. Like, I was like, well, maybe I'd want to do pediatrics, or maybe I'd want to do this. And I was like, well, PAs can do that. Because that's the big thing, is in OB, PAs and NPs can't do everything that an OB does. Where a lot of fields, that's not true. But because OBs can do surgery, they can do C-sections where midwives can't, right? You can only do like typical births before it gets handed off. And now I can articulate this better, but like I just really believe that women should be able to have women as their providers at every level of care. So not just if you have easy births, I would want to be able to follow my patients to get a C-section, not only if they have easy births like I did. So that was like a lot of it. But yeah, I took a year off and kind of rested.
Is that just a place of like overwhelm where you're just like, it's just easier to just remove it from the tape, like the table right now. And I can come back to it? Or was it like, it's done. I'm never going to come back to that.
I didn't think I would ever come back to it just because it was really overwhelming and it is a hard path and it is terrifying. And that is like the terrifying part.
And you had a newborn.
Yeah. It hasn't gotten better. I'm still terrified. But I have more confidence now and I have overcome a lot of like crippling beliefs that I had before. At that point. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, people are not very nice. And a lot of people's own opinions for their own lives, you know, they want to validate. This is my theory. I think everyone wants to validate their own life by seeing mm-hmm. that through other people's lives. Yeah. So for me to do such like an unconventional path is like, I think puts people in the defensive really quickly, mm-hmm. especially at the beginning. I think people... Because I live in such a small town, I don't meet a lot of new people at this point in my life.
Yeah.
For the last 5 years that we've lived here. And so I think everybody who knows me basically knows that this is part of my plan now. And I mean, I definitely still see like the shock on some people's lives that I'm actually doing it. Like, I think a lot of people thought I'd give up or I really wouldn't follow through. But there was just like a lot of very hurtful things said along the way, especially in the beginning. And it was really hard to like overcome that for me. And so for me, the best way I could describe it is like, I felt like I was constantly swimming upstream, like in a really like fast river, constantly swimming. And I just kept for years, I would say, I would look, I like metaphorically, I guess, or whatever the word is, I would kind of like look towards the shore and be like, when I was a stay-at-home mom, my life did not feel like this. And like, I want to go back. Like, it feels like so much easier than this. And so like I was always just like looking at what my past life was, right? Which you always look at differently than what's reality, because I was super depressed as a stay-at-home mom. So I can't say that that was like all glory, right? But
so Kayla, you're saying once you were doing classes, that's when you felt like you were swimming upstream and like looking to your past and like almost idealizing it. And so that's when you kind of took your break. Okay.
Yes.
And then when did you decide to come back into it?
So I took a year off and actually it was at the beginning of COVID. I had my son in June, and then I took a couple classes in the fall of 2019. I took like an accounting class and a business class. I was like, I'll go the business route.
Sure.
So it was like the most random moment of my life. And so I took those classes, and that was kind of a good realization for me to like really see that at this point in my life, having 6 kids, nothing was convenient, right? Mm-hmm. There was no plan I was going to have besides maybe being a teacher, which is not in the cards for Kaylee. So I just knew that there was no plan at this point that would be convenient for my family or that would be easy for me. And so it was like, well, COVID had started. I had told my friend why I had stopped the path and why I decided not to do it. And as I was saying it, I knew I was lying. I could feel it. It was so funny because I had told it so many times, but for some reason, when I was telling this specific friend, I knew I wasn't telling the truth. Like,
what was
that I really still wanted to do it. But that it was just hard. So then
and
I
that
had
was the lie. It's hard. Yeah. It's too hard. Or that I don't want
to
do it. Yeah,
just that I didn't want to do it. Right. Got that it. I really didn't want to be a doctor. That's why I gave up. Like, not gave up, but stopped this journey. But it was hard telling my husband because, you know, obviously it was like a little tumultuous, like for us just to be considering the future. And you have to confront a lot of beliefs, right? Like, around a lot of things. And so it was hard to go back to thinking, okay, we're going to have this chaotic future. And because we both had very strong beliefs that like you get married, you have kids, you get a career, and then it's kind of just smooth sailing, which I'm realizing is not true. But
yeah,
it's a very enticing belief that I still believe in. And some days I still like go back to that. I'm like, if only like it wouldn't be like
it was more true for prior generations. But it seems like our generation, it's different. It feels different, not so straightforward. So once you decided, okay, actually, I do want it, and I was lying to myself, I do want it. I'm sure you had to finish your prereqs and then do some other. So actually, that takes us to our main question, which I think a lot of people are going to be the most curious about. And it's just, how do you do this? How do you get into medical school as a busy mom?
Right. So I think it's actually almost easier after you've had some life experience, just because, so for medical school, kind of what they want from you is they want like research experience. They want leadership experience. Sorry, I wrote this down because I know I'm going to get like nervous during this.
You do.
They want community service, and then you will need patient care experience.
And this is before you even apply shadowing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I did not know any of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they want you to know what you're getting into, because it is a long road, right?
And that's on top of the prereqs. I'm sorry. Yeah. I keep interrupting you. Okay.
No, you're fine. I'm all about that. Prereqs. So you have to take certain prereqs. There are some schools that don't require prereqs, but these prereqs help you prepare for the MCAT, which is one of the main things they want, as well as the MCAT test. So like for me, you know, because I had already lived my adult life for several years, I had leadership experience like at church, and I already had community service because I had been volunteering at our local women's shelter as an advocate. So like I feel like my application is very genuine to who I am and like what I honestly like doing, because these are things I had already done. And so I didn't have a lot of patient care experience though until I started working in 2020. So a couple months after I decided to go back to this plan, everything we've kind of like eased into, because we've been so terrified. Like the 2 weeks before I started working, because I had not worked outside the home since we had kids, me and my husband were terrified. Like, what does this look like? Like, what happens with our kids? Like, we just don't know. And I eased in very slowly because we live in a very small town. It's like 4,000 people. And my husband is one of like 5 providers in the whole community. Mm-hmm. So like he works in the walk-in clinic. That's why we moved here, was they opened like an urgent care type situation in the hospital. So he works 3/12. And so I approached his boss and was like, hey, I would love to work, but I can only work the days Trevor's not working. And so I only worked 2 or 3 days a week, because either he worked Monday through Wednesday or he worked Thursday through Saturday. So depending on the week, I'd work Monday through Wednesday, or I'd work Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, Saturday. So I did that for a couple months, and then it kind of opened up for a full-time job for the other provider who did the walk-in clinic. So I started working full-time as well. So he worked 3/12, and then I worked the opposite 3/12, and then they are closed on Sundays. So we always had Sundays off. So that's kind of how we eased into that. So yeah, like I just did community service. So I did like the women's shelter. And then I also ended up planning like a community event the last 2 Christmases. I kind of joined forces between all the churches in our community, and like we did a live nativity. So I spearheaded that. And then research, there's no university even close to us. Actually, Logan, where Utah State is at, is a little more than 2 hours away. So that's the closest university. And so there was just no research opportunities. I was like, I could go to Salt Lake, but that's also a little more than 2 hours away. So I was like, okay, I could go to Salt Lake somehow. I would have childcare and I could go do this. So I ended up just creating my own research project. So I got a physician at work, and I created, technically a quality improvement project, is what I've been told, and just like tried to improve our processes in our clinic. So that's kind of what I did for research. But typically I think you would go in and there's a lot of opportunities when you live on a campus, but I just didn't have those same opportunities. I took all my prereqs online through Arizona State University. I had to email several universities that I knew I would be interested in going to medical school and just make sure they even accepted online prereqs. And there are still some schools that don't. COVID helped that a little bit. Like I was reaching out before COVID really happened. But now that's helped a little bit, but there are still. Like even when I applied, I would get the secondary application and I would go back on and look, and I'm like, oh, they don't accept all this. Like, why didn't I check that better? So yeah, a lot of them do accept as long as it's from an accredited school. So that worked out for me. They were the best classes, if I'm being totally honest. I think it would have been better if I'd been on campus, but did what I could.
Yeah.
So yeah, you do the prereqs, and the prereqs are things like OChem, both semesters of OChem, general chemistry, biochemistry. Both semesters of physics, both semesters of biology, like general biology. You're supposed to take sociology, psychology, I feel like I'm missing one, but I'm probably not. I think that's all of them. So those take a couple years. So I was doing those for years. I would take like 2 classes a semester and that was it. That's all I wanted to be doing. I just wanted it to be kind of chill. It wasn't very chill because then I was working full time at that point. But we're slow enough because we're a small community that I could sometimes sneak in homework at work. That worked out for me. And then patient care experience. I've been working as a medical assistant. You can work as a CNA. You can scribe in the ER. There's lots of options for patient care. I've seen people work at like eye doctor offices, just different things like that. So that worked out for me. Living in a small town. I don't know. Like, I just feel like a lot of the things I did were very unique, but they worked out for me. I worked as an MA and I didn't have any education. I think when you live in a bigger place, that doesn't always work out that way. I think a lot of time you have to have like an associate's degree or something in it to really be able to get a job, but they just were willing to do it as long as I learned on the job. So that's how it worked out for me. And I'm still doing that. And then shadowing, luckily I work with a lot of providers. And so I have shadowed a few of them. And in particular, there's a surgeon that quit here and I shadowed him quite a bit. And he's actually let me shadow on surgery, which was really cool. And again, I don't know that would happen in a big hospital. I really don't know, like, cause I haven't done it. So I don't know, but I am currently shadowing an OBGYN in a town nearby where our Walmart is. It's like 45 minutes away. And, and I just started on Friday and it was really cool. So, cause that's what I want to do.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
How did you know about those things? Like, is that somewhere on the internet or is that part of the, like the applications, they make it really straightforward. These are the things you need in addition to good MCAT and you need the prerequisite courses completed.
So most of the time you can go on a school. So like I knew the University of Utah has a medical school because I have a lot of friends that their husbands went to medical school. Like when we were all in college, like most of them are done now. But so I knew like where some of them went. And so you kind of are just like aware of what schools have medical schools, but you could always just Google it or you can go to, is it MCAS? It might be MCAS. I think that's where the application system is. Let me double check that. But they have a list of all the schools in there, all the MD schools, and then there's DO schools and they have a separate application. But yeah, the AAMC is applying to medical school with MCAS. So it's kind of both. But there's different resources, but you can go on their website and just like, I would just go on and say like U of U Medical School. And it comes up and it's like application or how to apply. There's usually some kind of link like that. Then you could go on, it will tell you exactly what they're looking for. And usually in their like frequently asked questions, you can try to find like, do they take online courses? If I really had a question, they usually have like an email, like about the online classes. I would just email them straight up if I couldn't find it on their website that just like explicitly stated. And I would just say, yeah, I've taken these classes. Specifically, all these core science classes, I needed to make sure because I was going to be doing labs online, like biology. They had like a simulation online. It was kind of like doing a video game. And then O-Chem, I had to go down to Arizona for a week and they do all of it in 1 week for both sections of O-Chem. So I went for a week for that. So I just like emailed them with like, is this going to work before I invest thousands of dollars? Because they were expensive classes and it was like $6,000 a semester for 2 classes is ridiculous. So I just wanted to make sure. So I emailed them and they're very good about getting back, but usually within a day or two. So there's people that's their whole life or their whole job, right? So
it's kind of laid out. So that's what people can do. They can kind of research where about they want to go and just make sure they have the right requirements. Did you have to study for the MCAT or did you feel like your prereqs helped you with that?
Yeah. So the prereqs. So the MCAT literally just covers those prereqs. So those are all the classes that will help you get ready for the MCAT. And those are always usually the prereqs. Sometimes there's other classes. Every school varies. Like they'll want you to take anatomy and physiology, right? Like that's pretty basic. But for the most part, most of them just prepare you for the MCAT. Yeah. Most people study for the MCAT for months. And on top of taking the classes, and they have like whole books, right? Like a book for each section. So there's like 7 books. So like when you buy it, they're like this thick of textbooks just for the MCAT. It's insane. And I'm going to be totally honest. I did not do well on the MCAT at all. But I think that's where...
I actually love hearing it. I love hearing that.
Yeah, I like really didn't do well. Like when I said that the first time, after I took it the first time, I was like, I bombed it. People were like, oh, it couldn't have been that bad. I'm like, no, I really bombed. Like, that's not a joke. Like, I couldn't even apply because it was so bad. And then I did a tiny bit better, and I barely was making the cutoffs. I didn't make a lot of cutoffs. Like, I had always wanted to apply to the U just because, you know, my family lives in Utah. I really respected it. And you have to have a 503, which the highest you can get is like a 528. I'm sorry, I haven't looked into this for like a year. So I think it's like is the highest you can get. But the lowest you can get is like a 480. And I got like in the 490s. So like 500 is usually like you want to get a 500 to get in at all. And I never hit 500. And so, but because of the way that society is now, I think we're trying to look at people more holistically. Mm. And that is included in medical school. So agreed. Yeah, I think we should as well. So this has kind of been like something I've felt self-conscious about as the MCAT, but it's also like, it is true. I didn't do very well, but I go back and forth about this. I'm like, does that mean I can't do medical school? Because there are definitely people on Reddit who believe that. But then I'm like, but I have 7 kids and that makes it harder for me to study. But then I always worry that people be like, well, yeah, you have 7 kids. It's not going to change for medical school. So is that really going to make it better for you? Are you really going to be able to do it if you can't excel the MCAT now? What makes you think you're going to be able to pass medical school? That is like one of my like touchy fears.
Yeah.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's okay. It's gotten better, but.
Sounds like it's your next set of beliefs to work on. You know? Because we each have another thing.
Yeah. A lot of people don't get in with the MCAT score I have, but I also realize that the rest of my application means something, you know, like the fact that I have life experience and the fact that I have gotten this far with 7 kids, I do think means something, you know, mm-hmm. And obviously there are people who think that as well, because I've had, so I applied to like every school I could because I knew my MCAT wasn't very good. So I applied to like 30 something schools, and I've heard from, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think I've had 5, maybe 6 interviews, interview invites. So there's 6 schools who were interested in me. And so I've gotten into 2 of them. I turned down 1 of them. So I just have 1 that I've like said yes to so far. And then I had 2 more interviews in the last 2 weeks at like a little bit better programs. So we'll see what happens with those. I'm supposed to hear from 1 this week and then 1 in 6 weeks, which is stressful. But so yeah, so you apply and then they all send you a secondary application, which you then pay more money. Okay. And then for you, if they want you or are interested in you, they'll give you an interview invite. So you do interviews, which you used to go to campus. Like my husband for PA school did that. He'd fly out to the campus. They do a day tour and like tell you all about the school and kind of sell themselves to you. So that's not how they do it anymore. Now, all of mine have been online. So they do it on Zoom and they do like an orientation where they like tell you all about the school. And it's like 3 or 4 hours long and they'll answer all your questions. They do a Q&A with students, all the things. And then on a different day, you do like a one-on-one interview, or I've done 1-on-2 interviews. So like with 2 people from their school. And then this last week I did 1 with 3. So
wow,
they're usually about a half hour. And they just ask you all sorts of questions and then you just wait and you hear, so they kind of judge you on your MCAT and your GPA, which my GPA is like a 3.6. Like it's not terrible, but my MCAT's not great. And by any means, it's like, it's not even close to great. And then like one of the schools they said is like 20% of your stats is what they consider. And then 80% on your application and your interview.
Okay.
So that's definitely changing because I don't. Yeah. There are still
some different.
Yeah. Some schools, they still require that you get like a 508 or whatever. Like they have a firm cutoff. So even if you apply, you'll just get kicked out because you're not high enough or whatever. So it's changing. And I think, I think it's good. And I'm definitely benefiting from it being more holistic because my MCAT sucks. That's
okay. You're right. It should be. And I love that you were able to still persevere and that you didn't take yourself out of the equation because you knew like 500 is a cutoff and you could have stopped then and you could have not applied anywhere and you still applied. And now you're in medical school for sure. Yeah. You're in. And how cool would it be to get more options to choose between 2 that besides the one that you already turned down. So I just think this so on so many levels is so inspiring. And I think the bigger picture to me is just how step-by-step this really was in actuality. You know, when we hear all of this, it's condensed in a certain amount of time. So it just seems like an overwhelming amount and so many steps. And it is. But for you, that was broken out over many years. Mm-hmm. And so for the women who are considering this, especially as those who are mothers like you, I just want to emphasize that like this, it has to take time, and it's okay that it takes time. And you did that, and you had that bigger picture in mind. I do want to know, is there one thing that you would do a little differently if you could go back in time?
So I've been thinking about that much today, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I would, just because, you know, obviously there's some things I'm like, oh, I could have done that better. Could have overcome some beliefs better, or I could have. Mm-hmm. I was saying, maybe I should have started therapy earlier on my way. I did. I just had the wrong kind of therapy. Like, that wasn't as helpful until this last fall. And then it's like, you know, I think I did my best, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I tried my hardest, and, you know, I've slowly gotten to a better place. I don't know. I think all this stuff is just hard won. You know, like, it's not like I can go back and be like, I really wish I could have just ignored what people were saying. Yeah. Like, if anything, I've only made progress with that in the last 6 months. And that's because I have quit 2 jobs. 6 months, I quit my current job, went and worked at a bakery for 2 months, like very randomly. And then my boss was like, hey, you want to come back? She knew what my problem was when I quit, and it was kind of ending. And I was like, sure. And I was like, I live in a small town. I know people gossip here. You know, like, I know that things get around, and they do. But it was kind of this moment where I was like, who cares? I need to do what's right for me. And like, I know my truth, and no one's ever going to know my truth. And that's been a very hard one thing for me, right? There's reasons why we learn those things, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be easy to say, I wish I would have just known this all along and done this before I ever had kids. I mean, obviously, it's really my kids that helped me feel confident enough to do this. Mm-hmm. So it's like hard to say, I wish my kids weren't here for the ride, because I don't know that I ever would have gone on the ride if my kids hadn't come. So because, you know, your kids believe you can do anything, you know, and I needed that, because that confidence wasn't coming from myself. And so I needed my kids to think like, wow, mom can decorate a cake like that. I'm like, no, I can't, you know? And then it's like, you start seeing yourself in new ways because I was comfortable failing in front of my own kids, not in front of other people. And so, you know, things like that. It's just hard to like, I don't know that I could have done it any differently. I don't think I had the tools or the time to do things differently.
I appreciate your honest answer. And I think you're right. It is all so hard won. And that's almost point, you know? What's been the biggest benefit, though, in getting to this point of getting accepted in medical school and knowing that's for sure in your future?
I think it's just been finding Kaylee, I guess. You know, like, yeah, I mean, you talk about this all the time. Like, this is why when I found you, I just loved everything you were saying, because, you know, this has been a journey for me the last 5 years, and I'm still going. But the messages that you share of, like, you know, we've got to find ourselves to, like, get the do something list, or, you know, we have to, you know, just progress over perfection. I mean, these are like really healthy beliefs to have that, you know, I don't think a lot of us naturally have. Like, we've picked up other unhealthy beliefs along the way. So I think for me, like, starting to do these things has helped me find myself, because I love my kids, obviously. And like, a lot of what I've done in the past, like staying home, was needed. But I was depressed, you know, and I did feel very lost, and I felt very confused about my life most of the time. And obviously, like, I mean, I got married when I was 18, almost 19. I turned 19 2 weeks later, but then had my first baby at 20, right? And like, had babies very quickly, right? Like every 15 to 16 months on average. And so, which was all a choice I made, but it was still hard. You know, okay, actually, I listened to your podcast this morning that you just released, I think yesterday. Like, so it resonated so strongly for me. But
about resentment.
Yeah. And it was just like, being a stay-at-home mom is hard, and it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It's just, it was hard for me. And I think it, maybe in some ways it was wrong for me, but like, and I think that's where I'm finding myself now, is like this. I just feel, I mean, I'm a very religious person. I've already mentioned that. And I really have strong beliefs of God. And I really feel like this is God's plan for me. And I feel like that's what happened that day, is God was like, bing, like, look at yourself in a different way. And I never would have believed in myself enough, but I felt God believe in me to do this. And There are times I have like, okay, I can't even say there were just times. Regularly, I ugly cry, right? Like I have times I want to quit. And that's like really where my husband has come through for me. But I think I would say that I have found myself and I'm a healthier Kaylee now. But I also think my marriage, I mean, we haven't really talked about this part, but I feel like this is a part people ask me about a lot is like my husband's perspective on it. And I say that we have like a much healthier marriage, like where it's much more like give and take instead of me always giving and him always taking. And like, I think that's really hard in like a stay-at-home mom working dad situation. Like, I think it's very easy for it to become this very giving of women and very taking of men, very like not on purpose. You know, I don't think people are trying to hurt each other or hurt themselves. But I think it can very easily get like unbalanced very quickly. I mean, even when I quit my job for like 7 months to focus on school, I very quickly reverted back to that. And I've had tons of guilt about the things that the ways that our family has changed. I still do. I'm getting much better. Like, nope. I like go in and justify it to myself. Like, no, I did this every night when Trevor was working late until 6. I did this. I did that. I did this. Yeah. So he can do it tonight and it's okay. You know, like this is not a problem. And so it's just like kind of those things. And we've really had to communicate well. You know, we've really had to be on the same page for this. And, you know, like I said, he was very verbally in agreement and it took a long time, like for me to see that he really meant it. Like he was 100% on my side with this and that he really meant that it was okay that I was doing this. And so like in all, I would say that like as a family, we're much healthier and like much healthier beliefs about women who work and about daycare. You know, so, like, there's just like a lot of like shame with these things. Like, well, I mean, I have somebody in my family who used to say to me, well, I don't think women should work outside the home. And then I was like, you teach piano lessons, like that's working, you know, but there's just this feeling of like, well, I work inside the home. You know, and I don't have to use daycare. I don't have to do this or that. And I mean, I eased into daycare as well. Like eventually we use daycare now and I love it. And I don't feel like she's raising my kids, you know, and like, even if she was, she's a great choice. It's like, you're a great person and you help my kids. Like my little boys adore her and I adore her and she's awesome. And my kids have different skills than my older kids did, you know, they're getting different opportunities than my older kids did. And so all in all, like, I feel like we've had to overcome a lot of things, a lot of beliefs. Like I can go back to that, but that really was like the struggle of the first 3 years. I feel like people look at my situation, they think obviously having 7 kids is the hardest part. That is not anywhere near the truth. Honestly, the hardest part is believing in myself and really believing that I can do this and like believing I'm worth inconveniencing my family. And so it gets tricky sometimes with those things. But like at the end of the day, I really believe that any job is a mom job. You know, every job can work for family, but it requires sacrifice on both partners' part, right? Like we both have to sacrifice for each other. We both have to work with each other's schedules. I mean, for a long time, it was like fighting my husband on certain things. And it was like, okay, my whole life has revolved around your schedule for the last 10 years. And I understand that like that's hard to change, but we've got to change. Like I need to be able to go do stuff too. Like I need to go study, you know, like. He used to say things to me like, well, you know, when I was doing it, I would do this. And I'm like, yeah. And I stayed home. Like, it was just a given. I was going to be home with the kids. Like, that's not a given for me because we do both work, you know? And so it's like those little things you have to believe before you can fight for yourself. And I really believe that to have an equal marriage, you do kind of have to fight for it, you know? And to like really, you have to believe in that you deserve that first. You know, I just think that's the hardest part is just really believing in yourself so then you can fight for yourself because whether that's in relationships or like, because there are classes that are really hard, you know, and you have to keep pushing to get the grade that you can, you know, and to learn the stuff and it's hard, you know, there's definitely hard days. And so if you don't believe in yourself, then it's hard to keep going with it. So that's definitely been the hardest part for me.
I'm thinking about the women who are listening and for those who feel similarly drawn to something outside of the home, and maybe they've been in the home for a long time, or those who have worked from day one and now they're ready for a different career shift or to return and primarily be a stay-at-home parent. And I think the biggest thing that matters about what we talked about today is what you just shared about that belief in yourself and knowing that what you want and what you know about yourself matters, and that you're allowed to follow those things, and that you can make space in your home and in your family for yourself. And so it's not a matter of one person doing it right and another person doing it wrong or vice versa. It's more about doing the thing that's right for you and how good that feels to be a real person in your own life, and to take up that space in your own life. And that also translates to taking up space in different ways in your family. Thank you for being honest too about how those shifts require changes to a marriage, how it requires internal shifts in how we see ourselves. It can also require us working through our own guilt of those shifts, even though it's what's right for ourselves and our family. And I've seen women go through those same shifts, even just when their kids leave the home. And maybe they're technically not going back to work still, but there's a shift within the marriage relationship and who's doing what and the expectations that are just had. So no matter what, we're going to go through shifts, right? All of us. And so I'm so glad that you would model, like, that's just what this work is working with those shifts and to grow as a family and adapting, because we're all going to adapt no matter what we choose. So this is actually part one. We're hoping to have you back maybe a year or more. Like, I want you to get your feet wet and feel really settled for part two. Like, how do you go to medical school as a busy mom? And I can't wait to hear more about that. And I'm so eager for you to start school this summer. I'm sure you're more eager than anybody else. Kaylee, this was fantastic. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, of course.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.